to ask the question, are we prepared? Are we prepared? Are we ready for what's happening and what's going to happen? And sadly, as I look out in the world, out in the church world, I should say, I'm afraid I don't see that the church is ready for what's here or what is to come. There are some challenging days ahead. You know, the church is to be a beacon of light. It's to preach a message of the cross, to preach the message of Jesus came and died on the cross for all of us, took our sins, took the wrath of God upon himself that we deserve, rose again the third day, and if you believe in him, you'll be saved. And so that is, you know, the gospel message we're all to be proclaiming in this last hour, because there are hurting people and they need to hear that message, that God will save them, God will deliver them. So we are a beacon. We are a light in a dark world. We are to bring the good news. The gospel is good news. We're to encourage. As a pastor, I'm to encourage the church, exhort, encourage, lift up the church. But at the same time, I also have to deal with serious issues. Churches that don't warn against the dangers of sin, there's a problem there. They're not preaching the full gospel. They need to preach the whole counsel of God's word and warn people there is dangers in sin. And people don't warn. Pastors don't warn about the dangers in our culture, the dangers of all these agendas and all the lies and deception that are so prevalent today. You know what I'm talking about. You turn on any TV, any media, anything, you know what's happening if you're awake at all. And so as a pastor, sometimes I need to bring some warning. The pastor this morning did the same thing. Pastor Lincoln preached an awesome message this morning. I would encourage you to make sure you check out the archives on that. It'll be ready tomorrow morning. But there's some bad things coming. And so, you know, I'm going to be dealing with fear. Jesus has delivered us from fear. And I'm not just talking about just kind of your average fear, like you're afraid of a rattlesnake or that kind of thing. I'm talking about the type of fear that would make you forsake your faith, the kind of fear that would make you abandon Jesus Christ because you want to fit in with the world, you want to fit in with society, you don't want to be an outcast. And so the Bible warns us that there are some bad days ahead. The Bible warns us that there will actually be an apostasy, a falling away. Well, you can't fall away unless you're in first. You have to be in to fall away. So there are people in the body of Christ, the Bible prophesies, that will fall away. Will they be, according to that verse, there will be many people that are not ready for the days that are ahead. But I want you to be ready. And as a pastor, I'm preparing you. I want to present you before the Lord Jesus one day with joy and say, this is a servant of God that was faithful and what they did, and coming to church and serving and obeying God's word. I want to be that pastor that presents you with great joy before the throne of God and talk about all the things you did and your faithfulness to the kingdom. I don't want to be that pastor that says, I warned them, but they didn't listen. They did not heed the call that I've called, that I spoke. I want to be faithful, of course, to speak the word and say, I spoke the word, but they didn't listen. You know, the prophet that didn't warn the nation of Israel, you know, sitting on the wall warning that there is an enemy that's coming to the wall that's going to try and wipe out the nation of Israel. That prophet, the blood would be on his hands. And I don't want the blood on my hands. I want to warn you, there are some challenges that we all face. And so fear is actually the source of can be the source of a lot of issues that would make us compromise our faith in Christ Jesus. We get worried and we get anxious about small things, but if we don't learn how to deal with fear, that can become a lot more serious. It can snowball into something more serious. So let's get into it. I'm going to start in Matthew chapter 6. This is the Sermon on the Mount, one of my favorite places to be in the Bible, to challenge the church and how to be proper disciples of Jesus Christ. And so we're going to be talking about the things that open the door to fear in our lives that can be very detrimental. Matthew 6:25, Jesus says this, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body what you shall put on? Is not life more than meat, and more, and the body more than raiment? The Lord gave me a word and said, you know, the reason we deal with fear is because we're placing value on things that are really not that valuable. We place extreme value on things almost to the point of idolatry. We place value on money when money is actually not that important. It's just a tool to be used. The greatest way to use money is to use it for the kingdom of God. But it's just a tool. But people allow money to become their God. And so, you know, and we all have been tempted in this way, even myself, even recently. You know, I have some financial challenges hit me recently, and I've been tempted, you know, what am I going to do? And I place too much concern and worry on money. And I had to repent. I had to say, no, I am not going to put my faith in money. I know God is my God and He's faithful. I've got better things to do than to worry about money. And you know, we're hitting the what we call the holiday season, and I would encourage you, don't get yourself in a lot of debt. If you can, don't get in debt at all. You know what? Love. Just love people. Just bless them. Pray for them. Love them. Don't get yourself in the trouble financially and put pressure on yourself. But that's a different message. That's not my message. But you can understand how we can be tempted to worry about money, where money can become an idol in our lives, or even our source of income, our jobs can become an idol in our lives. Our status and our reputation. And so we place great value on these things. And then what happens is we become afraid of losing our money, losing our job, losing our income, losing our status in this world. And that makes us make bad decisions, or it can make us make bad decisions. It opens a door for the devil to come in because we've placed value on things that we shouldn't have. This world, the things of this world are not important. If it's not eternal, it's not really all that important. Of course, we need money to buy food so we can live. We understand that. But we don't want to live our lives pursuing money, loving money. The love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, the Bible teaches. But as Jesus is telling us here how to deal with fear, don't be anxious. What are you thinking about all the time? What are you putting your mind upon all the time? If it's God, then that's the right perspective. We have to put God first. And when we put God first, everything else falls in line, in order. But when we put money first, and money is the reason why we make all the decisions we make, it's all based on God, money instead of, well, let's pray about this. What is God saying about this? We're going to make bad decisions. And we're going to find ourselves in more trouble over time. We don't want to value, as Jesus is teaching here, food or water. We'll be afraid of not having enough. We don't want to value clothing, or we'll be afraid of not having enough. We don't want to value men's opinions. We don't want to value even our own very mortal lives, our bodies. You know, Brother Stidham said last week, he's completely right, that the mortality rate is 100%. We're all going to die. So we don't want to value, you know, try to preserve this body because we're all going to die. The question is, are we going to die in fear, or are we going to die in faith? Are we going to die believing God, holding fast to God's word, even if the entire world is against us? We're in a culture now that is very much against Christianity. And you know that as well as I. To the degree that we're yielding to fear is the degree that we're not in faith. We're not believing God. So when that fear enters your heart and you're dealing with, you know, whatever you're dealing with, your situation, your problem, there's a fear that comes in. And if you don't deal with it, it's going to build. It's going to snowball. We are supposed to cast down every thought, every imagination, everything that is contrary to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. That fear that says God's not going to come through this time. God's not going to provide. God's, you know, this is bigger than God. You know, that's what we're saying. When we allow fear into our heart, we're saying the devil's bigger than God. We must always fight fear and doubt, worry, all these things. These are enemies. But again, I'm talking about a more serious time where if we allow fear any place in our heart, we can actually abandon our faith and lose our relationship with God. You know, one person said this, and I like it. Fear is expecting a move of the devil, where faith is expecting a move of God. When he comes back again, I'm expecting a move of God. I'm aware of the Antichrist and all the end time stuff that's going to happen, but I'm looking for Jesus to come back. It's a revelation. The book of Revelation is a revelation of Jesus Christ, not the Antichrist. I'm looking for good things to come. I'm looking for the end where he comes and resurrects us, raptures us off this earth to be with him for eternity. We have a hope that this world cannot understand, a blessed hope. It's all going to turn out all right in the long run. We cannot fail. We have nothing to fear. Nothing to fear. As long as we don't quit, as long as we don't give in and quit and abandon our faith, we have nothing to fear. Nothing shall by any means hurt you, Jesus said. Now, what happens to our body is nothing. This is just like the coat I'm wearing. I could just take it off and I'm still going to keep going. It is not the real me. The real me and the real you is eternal. It is your spirit and your soul. We have nothing to fear. Like Paul talked about, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. A Christian should have absolutely no fear of death and physical death. Because now we're going to enter into the joy of our Lord and our Master. But we could be with him forever and ever. And there's no greater thing than that. But we can hear, and I hope we all hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Hallelujah. That's where I want to be. At the end of time, when the Lord Jesus comes back again, I want to be standing in faith, not fear. So every day, and fear is not something you conquer one time, but every day when the thoughts come, and sometimes they do come every day, you have to battle those thoughts. You have to cast down those thoughts. And Jesus teaches us how to do that. He says, take no thought. That means don't take any anxiety. Don't take any worry upon yourself. There's no reason to. And he talks about how he'll take care of us. He'll provide for our food. He'll provide all the things we need, our clothing. Everything we need, he's going to take care of. It says in 1 John 4:18, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Are you casting out fear? Because fear has torment. He that fears is not made perfect in love. You know, I found that the more I love God, the more I grow closer to God, it's easier to cast away fear. It's easier. Draw closer to him. And those fears will just dissipate. I'm not saying that the thoughts won't come. We have an enemy that's going to try to put thoughts in your mind, but you can cast them away. Praise God. Submit to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee every single time. We've not been given the spirit of fear, but of power and love, a calm mind, self-discipline. We have the power to master fears, to master all sin. See, I consider fear a sin because it's putting faith in anything other than God. It's listening to the devil. It's listening to lies. A lot of the things we're afraid of never even happen. And we know that from experience, right? And how silly when we look back and say, I was afraid for nothing. Nothing even happened. Or God took care of it. He'll always take care of your needs. Doesn't mean everything will be perfect or the way you want them to be. But guess what? They're going to be the way God wants them to be. As long as you're in him, you abide in him, everything's going to be fine. He's got you in his hand. Matthew, the next verse, 6:26 says this, behold the fowls of the air, talking about the birds, they don't sow, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much better than they? So, you know, birds don't even sow crops. They don't harvest crops, but God takes care of them. And we're infinitely greater in value than birds. Verse 27, which of you, by taking thought, or in other words, worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? In other words, you can't grow any taller. You can't live any longer by worrying. In fact, if you worry, you're probably not going to live as long. Worry is the source of all kinds of our ailments today. Why take ye thought for raiment, clothes, in other words? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. In other words, the flowers don't even work, and yet God clothes them. Verse 29, and yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Now, I looked up that word little faith in the Greek. It's actually just one word in the Greek, little faith. It's aligopistos. It's a compound word in the Greek. Pistos just means faith. So aligo, I looked up. Aligo means puny. O ye of puny faith. Puny in extent. Puny in degree, in number, in duration, and value. We don't want to have puny faith. I really keyed in on that word duration. You know, we can say we have faith when we're in church and everything is going well. But when things get tough, do we have puny faith? When things get hard over the long course of time, you have to fight the fight of faith. It takes time. It's over duration of time. Will you be strong in faith or will you have puny faith? You know, puny faith is like a mushroom. One day it's here and the next day it's gone. You'll never see it again. The disciples were rebuked many times for having puny faith, little faith. But strong faith is like that mustard seed you put on the ground. Though it's small, it'll grow a tree that'll stand the test of time. We'll hold fast in the storms of life. When he comes back again, I want to have strong faith that will endure over time. Fear can be an indicator that we value something more than we value God, that we might even love something more than we love God. And that's idolatry. So I'm not just talking about the simple little fears of little things. I'm talking about the big stuff when we talk about fear. All fear needs to be dealt with, but have you allowed something to become an idol in your life? Like money. I talked about money already. Your career, even your kids can be an idol in your life. If you place your kids above God, they become your idol. If you place money above God, that's your idol. Anything can be an idol in your life. We're placing value on things that are not God's. We're idolizing things that are not God. God has to be God, right? God has to be first in your life. This is what Jesus is teaching us. The way to deal with fear is to let God be God, to let God be first in your life, to put him above all other things. And that's how you put things in order. And I mean, you don't have to live in any fear ever again. He's called us to be free from fear. So many of us are in bondage to fear. We're like in a cage looking out. And we're looking out at all those people that are free. Look at all those Christians that have such joy and peace. You know, we're not called to be caged. Fear is bondage. We're called to be free. All of us should be living a life of peace and joy. And how do we do that? It's by drawing closer to God, by letting God be the Lord of our life in every situation. And we can just say, you know what? I don't care. I'm not worried about that. You know, we can be like the child, a small child that's dependent on mommy and daddy. And you know, someone walks up to the parent of that child and says, you know, here's your eviction notice. And you can ask the child, well, aren't you afraid? No, mommy and daddy's got all that. I'm not worried. Mommy, Can I go take a nap now? They're not worried about a thing. That's the way we need to be dependent on God. We need to be so close to God. But you know what? I'm not worried about anything. Our God is so big and so great, we have nothing to fear. We can go to the in the middle of the storm, go to the back and sleep with Jesus. He's sleeping in the back of the boat. We can do the same. We can rest in the greatest of storms. But I want to challenge you. You know, again, we live in a wicked culture. And what if, you know, you're threatened to lose your job and income if you don't do something immoral? If you're threatened to lose your job and income if you don't, you know, cover up someone else's immorality on the workplace? Or you're threatened to lose your job because you don't celebrate perversion? That's the culture we live in. What choice will you make? Would you betray your faith and your integrity just to keep your job? 1 John 2:15 says this, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him." Who do you love? Do you love the world? Do you want to please the world? Is it worth it to gain your job or to stay accepted, but to lose your eternity? For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And this world, it'll pass away, verse 17 says, and the lust thereof. But he that does the will of God abides forever. Again, fear can be an indicator that there's some idolatry in our hearts. Not always, but it can be. If we've allowed our job or our income or our money to be so important to us that if we lose it, well, we fall apart. We just want to go shoot ourselves or something horrible like that. That means our priorities are misplaced. When God is the God of your life, the true God of your life, the Lord of your life, you won't think of suicide. You won't think that your world is imploding and falling apart because you lose, you know, this or that. These things are all temporary. You have the heavenly perspective. God is God, and He's got me. He's going to take care of me. You know, I see the days coming, and I'm not going to read the passage, but it's, and you might want to write it down, Daniel chapter 3, verses 14 through 18. You know, the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And so there was this image. And the king brought Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and says, "Do you not serve my gods nor worship the golden image that I've set up?" And so they had to, when the music played, the whole, you know, country, the whole nation had to bow down to an image. We know our Bible says there's an image that's coming again. The whole world will have to bow down to this image. And if they don't, they'll be executed. This is a forewarning in Daniel. It's right there in our Bible. And we know what the three boys said. They said, you know, "We're careful to answer you in this thing, but we will not worship your God. We will not bow down to your image." Can you say that when the time comes? Will you bow down to this culture, to this world? Will you forsake Christ just to be accepted? Or even forsake Christ just to stay alive? There are people doing that today. This has been going on for 2,000 years, real persecution of Christians. We just haven't had it here in America. You know, that I'm afraid for America more than all, because we've had this watered down message, particularly in America. That's where it comes from, really. It's the source of this kind of fluffy message, watered down message of the gospel, that it's all going to be all right. It's all going to be good. Everything, there's no, you don't have to talk about sin. You don't have to talk about the cross. You don't have to talk about sanctification or holiness, or you don't have to talk about any problems that are going to come. It's all going to be great. And Pastor said it so well this morning, and I'm going to steal a part of what he said. You know, that was the attitude that Peter had when Jesus was about to go to the cross. Peter was like stopping him, saying, no, no, you're not going to have that challenge. Nothing like that is going to happen to you. There's not going to be any of that for you. That's the message of the watered-down churches today, going out to the Christians. But what did Jesus call this? He said, Satan, get behind me. It's a message of Satan. We can't see it. It's a message based on emotions. God forbid that this should happen to you, Lord. God forbid that you have to deal with sin. Talk about sin in the churches. Forsake sin. Repent. God forbid that we should bring that up in a church. No, we're just supposed to be happy all the time and talk about, you're going to have a great life. Well, we are going to have a great life. I mean, in Christ, life is already great. And then we get eternity after this. Yes, there's some good message. The gospel is good news. Don't get me wrong. But there's some warning that we have to have at the same time. What if you never warned your children? You know, there was a day, it was a horrible time where, you have small children and you have to warn them. One day, at some point, when you realize they're old enough to understand what you're saying, there are some people that are going to want to do bad stuff to you. They want to take you. Don't talk to strangers. Don't take candy from strangers. Don't get in a car with strangers. That's horrible that you have to do it, but you should do it, right? It's the right thing to do to protect your child. And we have pastors today that have no spine, that won't do that, that won't warn about the things that are coming. We need to warn the church. There's some bad things coming. There's some great things coming. I mean, there's good news. We're in Christ. Praise the Lord. We have a relationship with God that nothing the devil can do will ever break, that relationship with God. We have nothing to fear, and we look forward to an eternity when he comes back again. But we also have to be aware of those scriptures that says there's an apostasy coming, a falling away of the church because they would not hear sound doctrine. They gathered to themselves teachers with itching ears that would tell them whatever they wanted to hear. I commend you for being in a church like this. This church is kind of tough. I mean, we'll shoot straight. We'll hit you right between the eyes, and you're still here. And it's like, wow, praise the Lord. We got some people. It gives me encouragement that are maturing and mature, that are listening to the message and saying, yes, I want to hear the whole thing. I don't want to just cherry pick the messages and cherry pick my preachers. It's awesome. It's awesome. Keep it up. Again, be ready for the final days. One last part, and this might be the hardest of all of them, to my sermon. And then I'll close, and you can go back and listen to it later. If you really like to be convicted, not only can money be an idol, your job can be an idol, but your children can be an idol in your life too. We know the Bible says, Jesus said this, Mark 12:30, you shall love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first and the greatest commandment. This is it. This is the top, right? Love God first. But Jesus, just a couple chapters before that, said this as well. He that loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy than me. How do you know if your child is an idol in your life? I'll tell you how. If they choose to enter into a lifestyle of sin, do you stand with your child? Or do you stand with God? Do you excuse your child and say, oh, it's okay. It's okay. You just dismiss it and say, it's okay. Or do you stand with God and say, no, sin is sin. I'm standing with God. I'm standing with God's word, and I'm waiting for you to come back into the fold. I'm waiting for you to come back because God loves you. God died for you. And pray for that child. Bring them back with love. But be firm and say, I'm not compromising the gospel. Sin is still sin. you've walked away from God, but I'll be here when you decide to come back. The prodigal child, you know, the father went after. That's our Heavenly Father. He loves that child that goes into sin. But it's their choice. And He's waiting for them to come back. But I've seen, unfortunately, even preachers, their child chose to live a lifestyle of unrepentant sin. And what did they do? They said, it's okay. From the pulpit, it's all right. Then they started embracing that lifestyle and preaching what's known as liberal theology. Oh, it's okay. And trying to find ways to twist scriptures so that it's all right. Again, I don't want to be that person when the Lord Jesus comes back again, try to explain how I abandoned my faith and then just for my child taught my church to abandon their faith too. No, I'm going to be faithful to the Word. No matter if everybody falls away, even my own children, if that should happen, God forbid, but I'm standing with Jesus Christ till the end. And we got to have that kind of backbone in these days. Abraham sacrificed his own child on the altar, gave that child to God. Can we do that with our children? It's a great story. That's faith. Abraham's the father of faith. Faith is the opposite of fear. Fear of losing your child, your child's adoration and your child's respect or whatever it is, friendship, will make you make the wrong choice in that situation. Fear. Fear is serious. It can make you abandon your faith. Don't allow fear in your heart or in your life. It's a battle. I'm not saying that it's just going to be gone one day. We'll always have to deal with fear. But I'm trying to warn you that fear is more serious than I think we know it is. And we need to take it serious. In these last days, be strong in faith, forsaking fear, rebuking the spirit of fear. We boast sometimes how much faith we have until we meet real challenges like the ones I'm talking about. We can talk a good game, but fear in our hearts indicates that we're not as full of faith as we thought we were. You know, again, I want to emphasize fear. You know, we can have thoughts of fear and worry in our head, and we can just cast them aside. But the problem comes when we have fear that drops from our heart, from our head into our hearts. That means we've embraced it. And we believe this fear is the truth. This thing is true. At that point, that's the problem. So don't allow the thoughts in your mind. If you battle them here, they won't drop into your heart. But if you don't, they'll keep coming and keep coming and keep coming until they drop into your heart, until this is what you actually believe. It becomes who you are. Have you ever seen people that can't even leave their house because of fear? They become paralyzed, unable to function. That's fear that's dropped all the way into their heart. It's not just a thought that passes in their head. They become crippled, almost disabled. So what's the answer? Well, I already read it. Mark 12:30, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, with all thy might. God has to be first. That's the answer. But then, as Jesus continues to tell us in Matthew 6, as I started off with, seek ye first the kingdom of God. God has to be first, and His kingdom has to be first. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things that we think are so important, which really aren't, all these things will be taken care of. They'll be added unto you. All your needs are going to be taken care of. God's big enough. Seek first the kingdom of God. Live for God. Follow God's purpose for your life. And everything is going to be taken care of. But this also makes sure that nothing becomes an idol. When you put God first and the kingdom of God first, none of these things that we're tempted with, money, or our kids, or our jobs, or careers, or our reputation, None of these things can ever be an idol in our lives. The answer to dealing with fear is let God be God. Let God be first in your life, seeking the kingdom of God first. With that, I'm going to close. I'm going to give you one final scripture, and we'll pray. In 2 Corinthians 4:18, it says this, "We look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." Hallelujah. Let's go after the eternal. Not living a life of fear, but a life of faith. Amen? Praise God. Let's close in prayer. Father, we thank you. You are so good. You sent Jesus to die for every one of us, and you're calling all the sinners, all the backsliders, come back to me. Come back right now. I've sacrificed my son for you. Will you heed my call and repent from sin and come back? If that is you, call on the name of the Lord right now and say, "Yes, Lord, forgive me. I want Jesus. I repent from my sin and I want Jesus to be the Lord of my life, the Savior of my life. I forsake sin right now. Help me. Forgive me. Cleanse me." And he says he will. Hallelujah. And for those in the church, God, I pray for those in the church that heard this message that you will remind them when fear comes to cast down those thoughts of fear. When we start placing value on things of this world that are not important, that you bring it to mind and say, "That's not important. The kingdom is important." Don't let that be an idol in your life. Let God be God in your life. Help us, Lord God, to live in the victory that you purchased for us on the cross. Victory over fear and over all this world. We have nothing to fear because we're in him. And we look forward and we want to be ready for the day he returns and calls us home. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. When we know that we can have faith over fear, and not that we don't have hard times and not that we don't have troubles that come in this Christian life, but that we are holding the hand of the person who has the answer. That's a good word today. I'm blessed. I hope you are too. We want to thank you for coming out. We also want to thank all of those who have joined us on our webcast. We want you to know that you are welcome. You are family. A couple of quick announcements before we let you go. If you haven't had a chance to give, we do want to encourage you to do that so we can continue to take this message of the gospel around the world. Our food pantry, we have a few items that we're in need of. Also, if you are in need of a food basket, you can go online to our website, and there's a form you can fill out. We want to be a blessing to you for that. And lastly, this Wednesday, no Bible class. We want to wish you all a very happy Thanksgiving. I hope you guys get some rest and get some good food and get some good time to spend with your family. We love you, be blessed, and you are dismissed.